Okay, let me show you another verse. These are all well-known verses and not new. Matthew chapter 6. These are the words of Jesus again. Very necessary in the time in which we live, when there's so much of uncertainty, wars and rumors of wars, and people talking about nuclear bombs and things like that. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. You know that. All of you work in some office. You can't be working in two offices at the same time. You have to quit one and go to the other. We understand that. And here the Lord says the two masters are God and wealth, God and money. You have to choose which one you want to serve. And if you choose to serve God and not to live on earth to make money, say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to live for you. What about your earthly needs? You have many earthly needs for which you need money. And he says, for this reason I say to you, don't be worried about your life. Verse 25, what you eat, what you drink, of clothes, what you're going to put on. Isn't life more important than food and body more important than clothing? And then he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't plan and scheme anything. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Don't you think you're worth much more than them? Here is where faith comes in. Do I believe that I'm of more value to my Father than all these birds flying around? In every country in the world, there are birds flying around. And the Lord just asks you, do you believe that you're more valuable than them to your Father in heaven? I'll tell you this, I've seen through in many, many churches, many Christians don't believe these words. The parents don't believe it. How do you expect their children to believe this? When we have a need, we go to man. And we hint and we ask and we beg and we borrow. We have very little faith in God. No wonder we have so many other problems. Because when other trials come, we don't have any faith. Because in the areas where we could have trusted God, we didn't trust Him. So, dear brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to change your way of life a little bit. And don't let your faith in God just be singing songs on Sunday and reading the Bible and believing certain truths. Let it be living in your different situations of life where you come into a trial. That's where you prove whether God is there or not. You know, for example, I take a child who can thinks he knows everything in mathematics. Well, the test will come and the final examination comes. So it's only in that examination that the child really discovers that I know nothing about mathematics. I thought I knew everything. And that's how it is in the lives of many believers. You see, oh, I have great faith and everything, but when a trial comes, they fail completely, which proves you never had any faith at all along. Just because the rest of your life was very smooth, without any problems, and you thought you had faith, you did not have faith. When the trial came, you discovered you had zero faith. That's why God sends trials into our life, so that our faith can be strong, so that we can discover. It's like in school in India, we have what they call monthly tests. They'll give a monthly test in mathematics, in math. You discover that you haven't really understood the subject. So that's when you fail there, you work hard so that in the final examination you can pass. So when God allows you to fail in a trial in some situations to show you don't have all that faith you thought you had. It is all those wonderful, amazing songs you sang in the church. You didn't really have it. It sounded very nice on Sunday. But here's a trial come and you're all floundering and you doubt whether there is a God and whether He's listening to you and all that. Thank God for these little monthly examinations that will prepare us for the final test. And God wants you to pass. Why does a teacher give a monthly test to the students? It's not because He wants to prove to them you are useless. No, He wants them to see their true state and to work hard and pass. Every good teacher wants every student to pass. And you think God is less than that? He wants every one of you, my brothers and sisters, to be triumphant in Christ. He does not want one defeated Christian sitting here in this church. Not one. He wants every home here to be a happy home, where husbands and wives are patient with each other, where they don't yell and scream at each other. Every home, not one or two, not most of them, but every home. He wants every young brother and sister here to be a wholehearted disciple of Jesus Christ. Believe it. So he says here, don't be worried about your life, but if you want to be anxious about something, he says, don't be anxious. For example, let me show that to you. Verse 25, do not be worried. Verse 31, do not worry. Verse 34, do not worry. Verse 27, who of you by being worried can add this in your life? Verse 28, who of you being worried can add this in your life? Look at the number of times the word worry comes between verse 25 to verse 34. 5 or 6 times. Worry, 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 worry about this, worry about that, worry about the other thing. And the Lord says, if you really want to worry about something, here's what you should worry about. Worry, verse 33, about seeking His kingdom in your life. Concentrate on that. Lord, I'm worried that I'm not seeking Your kingdom in my life. I'm not seeking Your righteousness in my life. I'm seeking so many other things. I'm really worried about that. And you worry about those things. And the Lord says, the Lord will worry about all the other things. He'll add them all to you. Verse 33. That's how I read it. The Lord says, you worry about seeking my righteousness and my kingdom. And I'll worry about taking care of all your earthly needs. And I'm not saying this some theory. I proved it for nearly 60 years of my life without depending on any human being. So I say this for your encouragement. I'm not asking any of you to be full-time Christian workers. I always taught in CFC, don't ever step out into Christian work if God doesn't call you. You'll mess up your life. If God calls you, you got to be pretty sure. Check with other godly people. If they confirm your calling, don't just step out on your own. But if you do that, verse 34 says, you won't have to worry about tomorrow. God will take care of it. This is the type of life God wants every one of us to live. We walk by faith and not by sight. And remember what we read in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So ask yourself in all these years that you've been coming here, do you feel you've been pleasing to God? You say, well, I'm living a fairly decent life. I don't get drunk. I don't steal any money. You know, these ordinary things, which there are many godless people also who have these qualities. There are many ungodly people who never steal anybody's money, who don't cheat, who are fairly upright, who are decent people. But is that all? Is our Christianity only that we are little decent people, we don't cheat anybody, we don't steal anything? Or is it little more than that? We have a trust in a Heavenly Father. Our life is free from anxiety and fear that God will let me down. He will not let you down. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, you've heard me quote that many times, 1 Samuel 2:30. The reference, yeah, I've often quoted this reference as 1230. Can you remember that? 1230? 1 Samuel 2:30. In the middle of that verse says, those who honor me, I will honor. I want every one of you, especially you young people, I wish you would remember this verse, you young people. Those who honor me, I will honor. Live on the basis of that verse all your life, in any situation. I have proved it in so many situations in my life. I said, Lord, I'm determined to honor you. It looks as if a lot of people are against me, a lot of circumstances are against me, a lot of things I can't understand, but I'm going to honor you. Yeah, there are times when Annie and I have been really hard up for money. And we had to educate our children, pay school fees, college fees, all types of things. But we said, we'll never ask any human being in the world. How can I ask a human being in the world when I got a trillionaire father up there? Do you believe you have a trillionaire father? Or is it all imagination? The devil says it's all imagination. It's not imagination. He's real. There's a real heavenly Father who... That's why Jesus said, don't just say our Father when you pray. Say our Father who art in heaven. That means our Father who runs this universe. Our Father who owns all the wealth in the universe. And you go to him and you think he's going to let you down? What about you children? What about your children? If your children have a need and they come to you and you've got millions in your bank account, will they tell you to go somebody else? Go and ask that person. Go and ask the neighbor for your need. Never. You will provide the need of your children even if you are poor. Tell me, my brother, sister, have you lived like that in the Christian life from the time you were born again? Have you lived like that, that when you have a need, you don't go begging to men? And you don't go hinting to men, but you say, Lord, that's an insult. It's an insult. Can you imagine the son of a king going and asking somebody else for money? Or asking somebody else, can you get me this? Can you get me that? A son of a king. It's an absolute insult to the king. Dear brothers and sisters, let's look back over our life and see the number of times we have insulted God, our Heavenly Father, by the way we have gone to men. I'm not saying we shouldn't ask one another for help. If I need a lift to go somewhere, I ask people, give me a lift. I'm not trying to teach some extreme type of thing. We are here to help one another. But my point is, we don't depend on people. Be careful, particularly when it comes to money. Because the Bible says, owe no man anything. I must never be in debt to anybody at any time in my life. I've lived like that. All my 84 years, I never borrowed money from anybody and never been in debt. No man will be able to say to God in the final day, this man borrowed from me. Or he borrowed and he didn't return. You know, you can live that life if you say, Lord, I've decided to trust you.